Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush Mini Crush Monday with Charles W. Chuck Bryant. Noel Brown.
Hey, Chuck, it's me, Noel.
Wait, what are we doing? Muppet voices here?
Sure. Hi, ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Frog?
I already did that one. That's the only way I could do it is just say the word frog. That's my Miss Piggy impersonation. Piggy? I can't say other words.
Frog?
Piggy?
We could Frog?
Piggy? That would be our show.
That would be it.
Be called Frog and Piggy.
That's our show, folks.
Noel, we're going to get right into it this week because that's what we do.
Yeah.
And we record two episodes, and this is number two of two.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go straight on over to the Movie Crushers page where John Kehl, K-E-H-L. So if you want to search for this thread on the Crushers page, just search for that. And this was a good one. He said, what was your most fun movie audience experience? He said, mine was Snakes on a Plane on opening night. Everyone was hissing at the screen. People were wearing toy snakes around their necks, and the mother effing snakes on this mother effing plane line had everyone screaming with laughter. So much fun. This is a fun thread, Noel, because it reminds us of before times.
I saw Black Panther on opening weekend in 3D, and people were just dressed up. It was a thing. It was packed out. It was so exciting. People were just like freaking out. That's a good one. And then I saw Mandy at the Plaza.
Ooh, I bet that was fun.
When it was like, because that movie kind of attained cult status very quickly because it was released on demand.
Mm-hmm.
It actually didn't come here to theaters, but then it did so well. People loved it so much that it started getting picked up in little smaller run theaters. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I saw it at the Plaza, people had already seen it. So they were like screaming about the different parts that were happening as they were happening because they knew it was coming. And I was right there with it. It was so fun.
That's great.
How about you, John?
I've got a couple. I will say all of the newer Star Wars experiences have been a lot of fun.
That has been fun.
When that first, back in the 90s, was it 90s or 2000s, when the first whatever prequels came out?
Phantom Planet?
Yeah. My brother was working at AMC Theaters at the time. People really lined up to see that movie. We rented a van and got tickets and had all of our friends in a van, like 12 of us, and he got us in there early. And we sat 6 and 6 right in the middle of the theater in front and behind each other. And when the nerds got let in, they were so mad that we got in there first and we were stared at and made fun of and people were mad at us. But hey, we took it. So that was fun. And even though the movie ended up sucking, but I'm going to go with my favorite, Noel, and I'm about to talk to Trevor in about 45 minutes about this movie.
Cool.
Dazed and Confused. I saw at the Georgia Theater in Athens,
nice,
which is a mainly a music venue, so they serve beer, and it was a fucking straight up party, dude. It was.
This is like pre-fire Georgia Theater, OG.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Beer lines running across the ceiling, like Georgia Theater.
Yeah, 1993, and it was
amazing.
People drinking and smoking weed in the theater, and it was just a party, man. It was one of the most fun movie experiences I've ever had in my life. It was great.
Dazed and Confused. Wait, no. Wait, I always confuse Dazed and Confused and Fast Times. Which one's got Spicoli? That's Fast Times.
Fast Times.
Dazed and Confused is the one that's Linklater, correct?
Yes.
Got it. Boom. Very cool movie.
All right. We're going to go here with Christy Richardson. Says, saw Braveheart in Edinburgh, packed to the brim with rowdy, cheering Scots. It was perfect. Oh, I bet that was fun.
Fun.
Sean's, oh boy. S-C-H-B-L-E-Y. Shibley? I'm sorry, Sean.
Like a fine Shibley.
I'm sure you've been going through this your whole life, but Sean says, I went to a screening of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and afterward, they had a passable live version of the Sex Bob-ombs perform a concert.
Ah,
so like a fake version, but a pretty good one.
I love Scott Pilgrim so much.
Yeah.
That was a movie, like my kid, she's gotten even more down this road, but like for, she has in the past few years started being at that level where she doesn't like anything that I recommend. Just because she's very, you know, headstrong and, independent. Totally get it. But that was one we vibed over, because it has anime qualities to it.
Mm-hmm.
It has that comic. It is a manga or sort of, I guess it's American, but, it is done in that style and she totally got it and dug it.
That's great. Phyllis Martin Talent says, midnight showing of Pulp Fiction the weekend to open. Audience was really into it. We didn't know what to expect. I remember the first time I saw that, it was at a matinee in Athens, and me and all my friends went because we were big Reservoir Dogs fans. And that was a big one. It certainly wasn't very crowded at the matinee, but the 30 people that were in there were all big movie fans and Tarantino heads already. And it was great.
Totally.
Duffy Johnson, the single time I saw Rocky Horror at the Midnight Show was a blast. That's good. I've never seen that at the Midnight movie. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I haven't either. They do it weekly at the, well, before times, at the Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've actually never seen Rocky Horror from start to finish.
I have. I've seen it a few times on the old TV, but I should do that live experience once. That'd be fun. Noah Hubbard says, likely Hedwig in the Angry Inch. After it went to second run theaters, people in Portland were really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fun movie to see with people in a theater.
Yeah, that's one that, like, I don't know that I ever recall that having a big first run theatrical release. That's always one that I just noticed on the shelf at the mm-hmm. video rental store and thought it was intriguing looking.
Yeah.
And then got into it because of that alone.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. I saw that in New York. That's when I was living up there.
Well, that's New York, Chuck. I was in Augusta, Georgia.
I know, I saw it at the Angelica, in fact. Let me see here. Charles Martin Akers, one of our old pals, says, I love going to see The Room midnight viewings. Of course. I'm sure that's a lot of fun. I need to do that, too. You know, I told you, when I was living in L.A., that was out. That was when it was released. And,
oh, yeah.
And we just saw that, and my friend Scotty and I saw that billboard, and we just, yeah. I never knew what the fuck it was. I was just like, who is that guy?
Mm-hmm.
And what is that about? I never knew and never looked into it because it was kind of pre-internet smartphone days where you could just kind of look anything up at any time.
Wasn't that fun? I mean, you know, obviously it's nice to be connected and have access to literally every bit of human knowledge that ever existed. But there's a magic to, like, you know, not knowing. Kind of just being a little in the dark about things and not being able to just Google something immediately.
Totally.
And then the people that are good at like doing things like that now have a very niche and special ability to like promote an event even with the internet and have it be still kind of have some secrecy around it or a film or a record or what have you.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Tracy Miller says, The Sixth Sense. I was sitting next to the cutest little old lady in a full theater. When the reveal came, the whole audience exploded. She leaned over and said, I don't get it. What happened? Spoiler coming, by the way. He said to her, he was dead the whole time. She says, who, the kid? I said, no, Bruce Willis. And she said, well, I knew that already. How did you all not figure that out?
You dummies. That's funny.
I love it. Grandma figured it out. John D. Caldwell says, probably Return of the Jedi, Raiders of the Lost Ark, or Purple Rain.
Uh-huh.
I bet that was fun. I didn't see Purple Rain in the theater.
Yeah, I saw Pulp Fiction in the theater when I was way too young. And I don't even know exactly logistically how that was possible. Because I seem to remember I just went with a friend. Like, we were like, you know, in like fifth grade.
Yeah, I mean, what was that, 94-ish or something?
93, 94, yeah. And we like, I don't know if we snuck in or if we had a parent buy us the tickets. Or what, but like, I remember that movie, there were things I did not understand, let's just say, at the time, about Pulp Fiction. Like, the distinction between cocaine and heroin was really important in that one scene, and also, like, what the gimp was doing to Marcellus Wallace. I didn't understand. It was years later before I realized he was, like, sodomizing him. I did not have any understanding of that at the time. Like, well, why is he so mad?
Oh boy, that's really cute. That's adorable. One of our old friends, Jenna Van Valen, says, opening night of Blair Witch, when it was still a whisper campaign, was it real? Was it not? Packed theater. The tension and excitement was palpable. No one ate or drank their concessions. Everyone was just glued to the screen. The whole room would jump at the same time. So much fun. And it was a moment in time that couldn't be recreated. The perfect exactly storm right. early enough in the days of the internet and viral campaigns. Totally, Jenna. Yep. I fell for all that stuff. I didn't fall for it and I thought it was real, but I just fell for the whole experience and
totally
saw it at, what's the, indie theater over there? In the, not the Plaza, but
the Midtown Arts Cinema?
No, not Midtown Arts. The classic, La Fonte Terra? Yes.
The Terra. Yeah, that's the a little Terra. Further out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's La Fonte anymore. You know that story. George La Fonte owned these small indie theaters in Atlanta back when I was growing up.
No. The Terra. Who is George La Fonte?
He was a movie retailer, retailier, or movier.
Interesting.
A theater man. And he had the screening room, which was over sort of near Buckhead. That's not around. Right. Terra is still around. Garden Hills. And I think there was one more. All these little tiny indie theaters. It was great. Like, Atlanta used to have those, Noel. They don't anymore.
I know it. The Terra's still around, though.
Terra and the Plaza.
I've only seen one movie there. And the Midtown Arts is, I mean, that's maybe
that
newer. But
now, I guess.
I like the Midtown Arts.
No, I love it. I love it. Let me see.
When are you going to feel comfortable going to a movie again, Chuck? After you're vaccinated, or are you like, do you need the rest of the population to be vaccinated?
I think when I am fully double vaxxed, I would feel comfortable going to a movie theater with a mask.
Yeah.
Knowing that I won't get sick.
Right.
And they're now saying too, CDC just said, once you're fully vaxxed, they're saying for at least 3 months, you don't have to quarantine either after exposure. But they're just playing it safe. Like it may be longer, but you know, there's so much they don't know about how much you can carry it after you've been vaccinated. And I think they're all just trying to be very conservative and saying, still wear that mask.
Yep.
But yeah, I may go to a movie once I'm double vaxxed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
I'm looking forward to, I mean, obviously it's not just going to be like, boom, back to normal, business as usual, but I'm looking forward to the little trickle of normalcy that's going to be coming in. So I forget who it was. It was on a podcast I was listening to maybe, but someone was pointing out that like when everyone's fully vaxxed, it's going to be like the roaring 20s all of a sudden, you know, like
it's going to be pretty fun and concerts and movie theaters and vacation destinations. I mean, everything is going to be pretty packed, even though there's a lot of people that are like, what? I've been doing that this whole time.
Well, that's also true. Do you think it's going to be like the run on it is going to create a supply and demand like a mismatch, and it's going to be only for the super haves? Like you got to have like, you know, get the premium reservations. And
I don't think that necessarily, but I think it's going to be, I mean, a stuff you should know performing live. Like we're going to be fighting to get theater space because every performer on the planet is going to.
Oh, that's a good point.
Try and get back in there. So that's going to be tight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're going to charge like fucking $200 a ticket just because people are going to want to be there so bad. We're going to rip them off so good. I can't wait.
Did you hear about what the Flaming Lips have been doing?
No.
Oh, dude, it's so cool. They've been working on it for a while, and they had a couple scheduled, and then they canceled it when the big spike happened again. But they just successfully pulled off, or I think it's still happening. It's at this theater in Oklahoma City called the Oklahoma, like, Vanguard, I can't remember exactly, it doesn't matter, but they're doing a concert where the band and the audience are all in those giant inflatable bubbles.
Yeah, he was performing in those for a little while for certain songs, and then I did hear about that. Yes,
I think they sell 100 of them for the whole room, you can have up to 3 people in your bubble. And the front row, a bubble costs $400.
Ooh.
Every other row is only $200, but if you split that up 3 ways, that's not that crazy for
bubble.
Per bubble.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Sure.
Because they can only have 100 of them, and they have like a gridded out, like, you know, when you go to buy, I actually went to the site and was looking at the ticket purchasing, you know, interface, and there was a whole map of like how the bubbles are laid out.
That's nice.
Like if you have to go to the bathroom, they have people that'll help you and unzip you and take you to the bathroom. And it's like, he's really thought it all out. I love Wayne in that way. Yeah. He's always been very, innovative, you know, when it comes to like live stuff and forward thinking, you know,
and I think very fan friendly too.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
All right, Noel, we're going to move over to Kelly Kearns Brockington, rising star, supposedly, is what it says here on the Facebook page.
I just got designated a top fan on the Movie Crushers page.
Are you a top fan?
I'm a top fan.
That's great. I can't even get verified on Instagram, Noel.
That's crazy, Chuck. I can't either. Have you done the thing? Have you like sent your stuff? And
I did, and I don't really care. I don't think it matters that much, but
it doesn't.
There is a person impersonating me on Instagram already.
Oh no!
Like they stole my Facebook or my Instagram picture, and it's a Charles W. Bryant page, and there's like 30 people following. So I reported that person, but they haven't posted anything. It's just weird. Like, I'm not like worried about it, but it's just weird to be a slightly public person and all of a sudden someone's impersonating you, you know?
Josh isn't verified either.
A little uneasy.
It's a little weird.
He may not have tried. Who knows?
Who knows?
Josh isn't really on Insta that much anymore. He hasn't posted in a while.
He's more of a Twitter guy.
Is he?
I think so.
I know he is. Why am I asking that? I think he's really sick of Twitter too, though.
It's possible.
Judging from our recent conversations. All right. Kelly Kearns Brockington says this. What's a movie that you like a lot, but is not well known and you find, but you find that it really still stands up? She says, for me, it's Club Paradise, Robin Williams and Peter O'Toole. I remember that movie. And the movie Feds with Mary Gross and Rebecca De Mornay, FBI comedy, but not a farce. I remember both those movies. I would say fairly little known at the time for being, you know, movies with big people in them. So we're going to say this. John, I haven't seen this movie yet. John Atli Gudjonsson. There's a lot of, I mean, that's, I'm not sure what that is, Swedish or something. It's hard for me to read your name. I'm sorry, John. It says, in a world with Lake Bell, flew under the radar. And Scorsese's After Hours also deserves more attention. Both very good movies. Gary Lee says, two Aussie movies, likely not so well known outside Australia and New Zealand, both starring Sam Neill, The Dish and Death in Brunswick. For sure.
I don't know any of these movies that you just mentioned. These are all alien to me.
Alien? There's another one.
Alien's good.
Little known. Heidi Laumann says The Butcher's Wife. Yeah. Kyle Peterson says Pootie Tang. Do you ever see Pootie Tang?
I know that Louis C.K. wrote it and didn't really get much
credit for Pootie Tang.
I've seen it. It's been a long, long time. It's been a long, long time, but I need to watch it again.
It's pretty great. Yeah, it was before Louis C.K. was much of a name. I'm with Mike Binder here, one of our old friends. He says Mystery Men. It's a movie that wasn't very big. And even the people that saw it, he says even fewer like it, I think. I think Mystery Men was pretty fun. I'm on record, Noel. What do you think?
Was Tom Waits in that?
Was Tom Waits
in that? Did I make that up?
He may have had a part in that, now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely in it.
Yeah. It's been a while.
He's like on the poster.
Is he? No.
No, he's not. No, he's not. But he's a bit part in it. It looks like I haven't seen it. Who else? We got your Ben Stiller. We got your Janine Garofalo.
Paul
we got
Rubens. Your, William Macy.
Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria is good. He threw the forks.
Yeah, he threw the forks. And then we've got your William H. Macy, who I also quite enjoy.
Yeah, he had the shovel. I thought that was a pretty fun movie, actually. And there's a lot of replies on there that I can't read right now, but I think Mike is getting a lot of support for Mystery Men. I think slightly misunderstood movie.
Yeah. Because, like, I think what maybe people took a little too seriously when it was meant to be a little more tongue-in-cheek, kind of, or what?
Maybe. I think it was seen as a misfire. I thought it was good.
Okay.
I got a lot of love for Mystery Men. Brandon Anderson says, Rad. I remember this movie. Young Lori Loughlin. I think I've seen this movie more times than anything else. Lisa Fuller says, Sneakers. The Robert Redford River Phoenix movie. Did you ever see that? That was good.
I remember it being like, it's a little creepy, right? Aren't they kind of cat burglars or like home invaders? Why are they called sneakers?
I remember, think they were, it's a heist movie. Yeah, it was a heist movie. It was good.
I believe there was some hanky-panky in it, if I'm not mistaken.
Ew.
I seem to remember either seeing the movie or seeing in the trailer that there was like some titillating activity going on.
Okay. Yeah. Anna Mills says Waiting with Ryan Reynolds. I didn't see that. It was a movie about a restaurant waitstaff. I should have seen that. Because Lord knows I waited tables for many, many years, Noel.
Yeah. I never waited tables. I worked in the kitchen, though.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. I did that, too.
Well,
You know, my first job, Noel, was when I was 13. I was a busboy at a barbecue restaurant. And then they moved me to the kitchen to be the hamburger and French bread guy. You would griddle the French bread.
Sure, sure.
So I manned the back grill at literally fucking 14 years old.
You were a grillman.
I was a grillman at 14. I've been working ever since. I always wanted to make my own money.
Oh, of course. I got a real early job like that, too. I think when I was about 13, my neighbors who I, you know, rode to school with, carpooled to school with, they owned a Chinese restaurant in Augusta, and they let me wash dishes during the summer, even though I was like not old enough technically to get hired.
All right, we'll move on to Katie Rowland here. Unapologetic, but I love this movie so much. The beginning always kills me. It's so great. She's talking about Return to Me, the movie with David Duchovny and Minnie Driver. A lot of people like that movie. Mike Emick says, Wonder Boys. Michael Douglas should have been nominated for an Oscar. Awesome supporting cast. Fran McDormand, Robert Downey Jr., Tobey Maguire, Rip Torn, Katie Holmes. Yes, Mike, is one of our favorite movies here in this house. And I think it's beloved, but wasn't some huge movie. So I see where you're coming from with that. It's one of our comfort movies. We can watch Wonder Boys any day of the week.
We talked about this recently, and that director did other cool stuff, and he was...
Curtis, he passed away. He did 8 Mile. Curtis... Oh, no. Type with your little fingers.
I'm looking. Curtis Hanson.
Curtis Hanson. Yeah.
Is it the writer, then, who was more... Like, Curtis... I know Michael Chabon?
It was based on a Michael Chabon novel.
Got it.
Wonder Boys was.
Got it. Okay.
Great movie.
Michael Chabon also wrote Spider-Man 2 and John Carter. Remember that massive flop, John Carter?
Remember that screen fart?
Yeah. Was that? The movie it wasn't was a Keanu. Fart. It was like a Keanu impersonator.
It was that guy from, he was from one of those.
Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah.
That movie was just like an egregious flop, I believe.
I did not see it.
No, I didn't.
Did not see it. All right, that's good stuff. We're going to move on and finish up, Noel, with Stream This. You, my friend, will be delighted to know that we finally watched My Neighbor Totoro.
Isn't it nice?
And all week we've been running around the house going, Totoro, Totoro. Yeah. And Ruby loved it. She watched it again the next day.
Oh, wonderful. Love to hear that.
And it is great. It's just there's something about it. It's just got a bit of magic to it. Lovely, lovely film. Not what I expected.
Mm.
Emily loved it. It was just really, really lovely.
Yeah. Well, now you got to watch Ponyo. Ponyo is got to be next on your list for the kid.
Okay.
Eden, at her age, exactly almost, Ponyo, was just taken by this movie. It's one of the ones where, like, there's some of the Ghibli movies that are a little dark and get a little kind of like over the top in like nightmare territory, nightmare fuel kind of stuff. But
what
Ponyo
about Spirited Away? Is that good?
It's a little dark, but it's just on the line. Okay. I think Ruby would dig it. Like Princess Mononoke has some like beheadings and like serious violence.
She's okay with that.
Well, then you're good with all of the Princess Mononoke too is about a badass like wolf girl who like, you know, just slays literally and kicks so much ass. I gotta say though, Chuck, so there is a new Studio Ghibli kind of, what do you call it, like CGI kind of, you know, modeled animation that came out called Earwig and the Witch.
Yeah, is that any good?
No, it sucks.
Really?
And it's Miyazaki's son, Goro, and it's just like, it's got all of these like trying to touch on themes from the classic Ghibli films, and it doesn't know where it's going. It's charming in spots, but then it just kind of ends, and it's really ham-fisted. And just like, what the fuck was that? When it ends, you're like, really? Like, it was a real, real bad misstep.
Interesting. I think I've seen a couple of other Ghibli fans on the Movie Crushers page kind of say that they didn't really like it either. Mm. That's too bad.
It was a real letdown.
But I love Totoro, and I'll definitely check out Spirited Away. Ruby, even from a young age, was like, she always understood the difference between real and make-believe and has accidentally seen me playing a couple of games with a couple of bad things where I was like, you're not supposed to see that. And she's like, Daddy, kill him. Cut his head off.
Kill them all.
And she just gets it. It's you know, it is what it is. Oh, but right. I'm glad, because I don't want her to think that stuff is real and to be, you know, confused by it.
Absolutely. How old is she again? 4, 5?
No, dude, she'll be 6 in July.
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah, I was.
She's on her way.
The second time. Yeah, that's a perfect age.
5 has
age.
Been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real transition, as you know, a transition period to, you know, to some more self-care. Dude. Like, you know, she'll get up and go take a bath by herself now and stuff like that. You don't have to run the bath water for her. You don't have to do all this stuff. So it's great.
It's really fun.
And then Noel, I've been watching Search Party.
I've heard good things with Maybe from Arrested Development.
Yes. Aaliyah Shawkat.
Shawkat.
I believe.
Yep.
It is really good. I like it.
Cool.
And I was delighted last night. I was watching one, and my old friend, Peter McNerney, my friend in real life from the Stuff You Should Know TV show, popped up. It's always fun to see Peter pop up.
Oh, shit. I had a call the other day with a couple of dudes, one of whom was in the Stuff You Should Know TV show. And I Ooh. Can't remember their names now.
Oh,
hang
no.
on.
Hold oh, wait. On. Were they the brothers?
No.
No.
Hang on a second. Let me look at my calendar entry.
Oh, no. Who could it be?
It was
Peter Elliott?
Wait a second. Wait a second. Where the hell is it?
Not Caitlin.
No, it was a dude. They're radio guys. And they were pitching like a radio, like a history radio kind of show.
Oh, I bet you anything. There was one episode where we had a softball team at work, and we played a radio station softball team, and we got a real radio Atlanta radio DJ to play the part of these kind of jerks on the other softball team.
That sounds about right. Yeah,
I bet you anything that's who that was.
Okay, that sounds about right. I'm having a hard time locating the calendar entry.
Yeah, yeah.
He specifically mentioned having been on the show. And he also told me, I wasn't aware, that it is streaming now, available on the Discovery streaming app.
I know, and I'm going to show Ruby soon. I was kind of waiting for the right time to be like, guess what, daughter? Your dad was on a TV show, and here it is. I'm going to do it soon because I think her mind will be fairly rocked by that whole experience. So we'll see. It's funny when she hears our show now, Noel, she goes, is that Josh or Noel?
That's sweet.
She can't tell you apart, which is funny.
That is funny.
And then finally, Noel, the movie I watched the other night called The Kid Detective. Very good. It came out sort of late last year, I think was not a big movie because it was obviously just straight to straight to streaming. Very good movie, a very dark comedy. I've been texting Hodgman about it because it has the same premise as his TV show, that is a child detective who solved mysteries a la Encyclopedia Brown, who is now grown up, kind of washed up, and gets a new case with some high school kids, current high school kids. And that is literally John's TV show, Dicktown.
Oh, yeah.
It's very interesting how these things can...
Parallel thinking.
Yeah, it is. You just wonder how that works. And, you know, I don't think anyone stole anything from anyone. It's just weird. But highly recommend Kid Detective, written and directed by first-timer Evan Morgan, starring Adam Brody. Very fun, kind of dark comedy. Super, super clever and well-written, smart, funny movie. Quite enjoyed it.
Right on.
What about you?
I've been digging back into a show that I liked a long time ago, and it's one of these things where, like, if you're paying attention the whole time, you're like, oh god, there were 3 years in between seasons. But since I wasn't, it just like was all available there for me, and I finished it. It's called Luther. Mm-hmm. It's with Idris Elba. He plays like a hardened London detective, mm-hmm. who kind of, you know, plays it fast and loose with the law and all that stuff. Yeah, it's really good. It's got, like, you know, it's one of these things where it's like just the gnarliest of the gnarly serial killer types, you know, psychopaths, like, mm-hmm. nailing people to crosses and really fucked up Seven type shit. Really, really fun. I say fun,
yeah.
You know, loosely, but it's great. And it's a really good cat and mouse type thing. They call it a How Ketchum instead of a whodunit, because you know who the killer is.
Right.
And you're just seeing how they go about catching them, as opposed to like figuring out who it actually is, which is a fun little reversal of the norm.
That's cool. I've heard good things about that. I'll have to check that out. Luther. Love that Idris Elba.
Oh, he's great. And they just wrapped season 5. Again, apparently there was like a 3-year gap between 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. And apparently it ends with a really serious cliffhanger. And they apparently are going to make a film for the next entry. And then they're going to put it to bed.
Very cool. I hope they do that. All right, Noel. That's it for today, my friend. It was great to see your handsome bearded face as always. And I can't wait till we can hug it out soon, my friend.
Oh, dude, I was about to say. Sooner than later, and also we'll get the kids together, and Eden can, you know, teach your daughter how to be a moody goth.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks to you, and thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, yes.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown, here in our home studio at Ponsonby Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.